When an ASML TwinScan machine unexpectedly breaks, the company calls that an unscheduled down. An unscheduled down costs its customers an estimated $30 each and every second. I adjusted that number for inflation. ASML calculated it back in the 2000s, when a $1 cheeseburger really did cost a dollar. $30 a second is $1,800 a minute and $108,000 an hour. It's like that scene from Interstellar, where they're on that planet, where time passes really fast, except it's not time, but dollars. TwinScan machines are at the heart of the world's most expensive factories. In this video, we look at what happens when one goes down. ASML's flagship lithography machine is the TwinScan. It's called that because it processes and exposes wafers in two stages, a measurement stage and an exposure stage. In the measurement stage, the system uses powerful sensors to measure the wafer's alignment as well as its topography. For best results, the wafer has to be correctly aligned in respect to the reticle, which carries the chip design information to be printed onto it. So here, the system calculates an optimal, quote, exposure profile, end quote, with the right alignment settings. The measured information is then passed on to the exposure stage, where the wafer is aligned and then exposed to the ultraviolet light. After that, the machine swaps the two stages, and it does this up to 250 times each hour. The machine is made up of a bunch of subsystems. For instance, the wafer handler and stage subsystems deliver the wafers to the right stage at the right time, and the illumination and projection subsystems provide the ultraviolet light, and so on. The two major performance factors in a TwinScan machine's performance are throughput and quality/accuracy. Throughput refers to how many wafers can be processed over a span of time, usually an hour. Lithography's cost is highly influenced by throughput, depreciation cost divided by the product of raw throughput, and equipment utilization. So assuming you are utilizing the equipment 100% of the time, which is already impossible due to scheduled and unscheduled downs, you can only lower the cost by raising the throughput. Throughput is measured by wafers per hour processed. Some of the most advanced ASML DUV machines can do almost 300 wafers per hour. They really go. Lithography quality or accuracy is a broad factor that needs further clarification. Within this broad area, there are two major aspects: line width or critical dimension control and overlay performance. These two are generally independent of one another. Critical dimension control means that the machine can keep the widths of certain critical features within acceptable parameters. Errors here can happen, for example, if the machine mistakenly moves a wafer out of its focal point, the point where the light beams all converge and cross each other. This is the job of the machine's mechatronics, which constantly keep the wafer within the correct depth of focus. The second major aspect of accuracy is overlay. Overlay deals with the positioning of an integrated circuit's many layers. As defined by the semi-trade organization, overlay is the actual distance between two features on different layers of a substrate compared to the expected distance. When a twin scan goes to print a transistor, there are points for its various parts: gate contact, source contact, drain contact. Overlay measures how far an actual printed contact has drifted from where it should be. If the overlay or drift is too large, then the transistor is poorly put together, and that causes it to malfunction or even short out. As nodes get more advanced, the overlay gets smaller and smaller, making things harder and harder. ASML's most recent DUV machines, like TwinScan NXT2050i, can produce overlays of just 1 nanometer, which is probably why it got put on an export restriction list. There are two cases of machine failure. In the first, a component within the machine wears down over time and repeatedly fails. This causes constant quote-unquote hot fixes or compensations until someone decides that this is untenable and they have to replace the whole thing. An example of this is a laser inside the TwinScan's wafer stage system, the Acoustic Optical Modulator Laser, or AOM, which measures the position of the chuck and the wafer it carries. That laser has a working life of 2 years, and over that time it steadily loses power. When it fails, the operator might power cycle the laser in an attempt to get it to work like as before, but at some point the failures are too frequent, and we need to take the machine down to replace the whole laser. Another example are lens deformations. Over their lifetime, contamination, scratches, and heat energy can cause a lens to deform, leading to focus errors. Some lenses are more susceptible to such deformations due to their position within the optical system. Every day, the fab people will measure the lens and its aberrations using an integrated tool called the Integrated Lens Interferometer at Scanner, or ILIAS, calculating what are called Zernike polynomials. Zernike polynomials are a mathematical representation of a complex 3D structure, in this case, the light as it passes through the machine, allowing us to use software to analyze for lens aberrations. If the aberrations are not serious, the machine can accommodate them, usually automatically, by adjusting the lens elements to compensate. But if it gets to be too much, then the part needs to be replaced and the machine goes down. The second type of error is catastrophic and unexpected. Take again, for example, the TwinScan's optical system. In an ASML immersion lithography machine, we use water to raise NA and shrink line width. So the final lens in the system is called the wet exchangeable last lens element, or WELE, and it is literally in the water. The WELE is covered by a foil sticker which protects it from the water. That sticker is susceptible to peeling off the lens at unexpected times, which can cause an unscheduled down. Those are just a few examples. There are countless others. A circuit board or a motor in the illuminator subsystem that was placed incorrectly, issue with the alignment mark reader on the wafer stage, and so on. Errors happen more often than you think. Your average ASML TwinScan lithography machine logs over 56,000 tasks and events each day. According to a study of 4 significant but unnamed errors in 1 TwinScan machine, 2 such of those errors are logged at least once a day. When a serious error happens, the customer then goes to talk to ASML technicians at the nearest customer service center. The failure is then investigated either remotely by someone at the customer service office or on-site by a field engineer. The engineers will review the data logs from the numerous sensors inside the machine, as well as the overall system parameters, looking for something out of the ordinary. To do this, they use a PC-based tool called SDT, which can either stand for System or Smart Diagnostics Tool. The SDD tool helps the engineer sift through the logs and find and review those at the time of the failure. Once the issue has been identified, the engineer needs to decide. The machine might still limp along operational, but unable to work at full productivity, and the operators just have to work around that. Or things should not go on as they are, and something has to be replaced. Here, the engineer must request and wait for a replacement part. Once the part arrives, the engineer does the swap, and then the fab operators can get back to restarting production. If the problem is not solved within 48 hours, then there is a rule that says the engineer should escalate to the production engineering teams, the second line of support. Based on older data from the late 2000s, this happens about 6% of the time. The 48-hour rule isn't super closely adhered to. In practice, it seems like the customer service engineer escalates when they decide it be necessary, not based on a hard rule. If they realize the problem they are working on is a doozy, they might try to get a hold of someone on the product engineering team on the phone as soon as possible to get their thoughts. The more well-trained the engineer is, the sooner they know when they need to escalate and not waste time. For this reason, new field engineers go through quite a lot of training either in the Netherlands or Taiwan. The fact that they do some training in Taiwan, even for engineers destined for Ireland or elsewhere, I always found amusing. After the event is dealt with, the field engineers file the details of the event into the FMKB, which stands for Failure Mode Knowledge Base. This is kind of like a wiki of sad times that gives ASML's other engineers a higher level view of ongoing issues. The style of response is known as failure-based maintenance or corrective maintenance, in other words, firefighting. Obviously, it is not ideal. ASML's service level agreements focus on 2 things. Overall availability, which covers the fraction of time for which a machine is not running, and extreme long downs, which happen when a machine is down for over 8 or 12 hours consecutively. Every fab experiences a few of these each year, and it is painful every time. The single biggest reason why an unscheduled down turns into extreme long down is a long excruciating wait for a spare part to arrive from one of its 45 global warehouses. Oh, so just have more spare parts lying around, right? Put them all in the fab. Well, this is expensive because you have a bunch of spare parts, expensive spare parts, lying around. If you have 5 fabs, you need to buy spare parts for all 5, so it makes more sense to just have one local warehouse that can rush the parts over as needed. These local warehouses are replenished by a set of central warehouses. I read a fascinating thesis by Dr. Donyal Lamkhari Indrisi, who helped optimize the inventory levels of the supply warehouses based on their delivery times to the fabs. The redistribution of spare parts helped save money and cut wait times by 5% and extreme long downs by 20%. Not bad, man. Another way to reduce the frequency of downs is to leverage all the sensors inside the TwinScan machine to predict when a crucial part is on the verge of breaking down, so then you can do a scheduled down for the machine to swap out the part. Since about 50 to 60% of total downtime is spent on setting up for the repair action, customer interface, diagnostics, waiting for spares, etc., if you can predict when a part is about to fail, you can prepare ahead of time and save a lot of grief. Various people have tried applying machine learning to large and complicated datasets like the ASML machine logs or the Lenz-Zernike polynomials in an attempt to predict when a failure is imminent. Unfortunately, this has been quite difficult to do. In part due to the sheer complexity of the machine, as well as a lack of good consistent data. For instance, with lens aberrations, it is noted that all the machines have some aberrations, and not every machine is the same. Each machine is basically customized for its client. Moreover, the lens itself is moving throughout the exposure process, adding yet another variable to the mix. In the end, there are often too many variables to allow for a reliable model. The search marches on. If you're interested in ASML and their story in this recent years, I recommend one of the sources I consulted for this video, the book Focus, The ASML Way by Mark Hayink. Sorry, Mark, if I pronounced your name wrong. I've known Mark for a few years and he sent me an early copy of his new book. It's thrilling and excellent. And no, ASML did not pay me to make this video, though they did provide some stock footage. My general understanding is that they prefer that I don't talk about them. An ASML lithography machine is the king of the clean room. When it goes down, fab operators can try to make up for the loss. They can shift work-in-progress wafers around to other machines, and a buffer of patterned wafers can go to the machine's downstream, but this is only temporary. When the unscheduled down extends into hours, those other machines work through this buffer and are left with nothing to do, so they too need to be shut down, even though there is nothing wrong with them. Thus, even after the broken litho machine is brought back online, the extreme long down has caused the whole factory to fall behind schedule, kind of like a traffic jam on the 405. Sometimes it can take almost a month to get back to the way it was before, with millions of dollars in lost revenues. It's a little bit terrifying considering that these machines, especially at the leading edge, barely work, and I mean that in the best possible way. It's all black magic, and there is stuff constantly going wrong. So the work done by the engineers out in the field, ASMLs and the fabs, are unheralded yet vital. The combined efforts of thousands of workers on the production line are essential in making sure the leading-edge silicon gets made. Alright everyone, that's it for tonight. Thanks for watching. Subscribe to the channel, sign up for the Patreon, and I'll see you guys next time.